everyone, and welcome to episode 566 of the MTG Goldfish Podcast. I'm Seth, probably better known as Saffron Olive, and we have the full crew here this week, kicking things off with the owner of MTG Goldfish, Richard. How are you this fine Monday, Richard?
Good morning, Seth. Doing well. Caught up on some football because Unc Philip Rivers was playing this weekend, and I'm like, yeah, let's live like it's 2009, baby.
What year is it?
Busted out my Boomer Junjack. We were having a time in the past here.
Hey, that made me turn on some football too. I just had to see what like a 45-year-old guy who hadn't played in 5 years would look like on 1 week notice. And he didn't do that bad really overall, I guess. Like they almost got there. We got another co-host in Krim. Good morning, Krim. I saw your Broncos still winning somehow. Yeah.
They
locked in the playoffs.
Yeah. But
they're going to be like the number one seed, I think. It looks like.
Good.
That's
good.
Insane. Yeah.
Good. But yeah, all around, obviously happy about that.
Yeah. Anyway, today we're going to be bouncing around a little bit. We got some new spoilers from Marvel Superheroes. That's going to be our big topic for today. We also got some Lorwyn Eclipse spoilers, a Commander format update, been playing some pre-modern and also some standard. Want to talk about that a little bit, answer some fish mail. So that's the overview for today. But before we get into it, a reminder that today's show is brought to you by Card Conduit. And Card Conduit's the easiest way to sell your Magic cards. If you ever get tired of the hassles of buy listing, you can skip them with Card Conduit. You can use their curated service. We send in as many cards as you want with a buy list value of a dollar or more and pay just a 5% service fee. And if you want to do a bit of work, you can use their sorted service where you list and sort your cards in advance and pay just a 2% fee. Either way, you're going to get a detailed report with the results and a fast payment once your order is processed. And you can even get another 10% off by heading over to cardconduit.com/mtggoldfish. Card Conduit, it's the easiest way to sell your Magic cards. Our show is also brought to you by Heavy Play, advanced gaming equipment. The ETB playmat features a unique folding design, allowing you to fit it in a standard laptop bag. It's available in a wide variety of colors and also with original art. The Equip Mag system lets you snap all your gear onto your playmat and move between rounds. Not that you'll need to, because you're going to be sitting at table one all night. So head over to heavyplay.com/mtggoldfish or use the code mtggoldfish at checkout to save 10% off. So thank you to our sponsors for supporting the show. And let's talk some Magic, and let's start with some Marvel spoilers. So Marvel Superheroes doesn't really until June, so 6 months from now, but we got some super early
July?
Spoilers. Oh, is it July? June 10th. It's June 10th that it comes out. So we still got like six
closer.
Yes, and one month closer to Krim Heaven. I know you've been waiting for this set. So we got a bunch of spoilers. But before we get to the cards, I got to ask you. So Spider-Man wasn't received that well from the community. I was pretty confident that future Marvel sets would at least fix some of Spider-Man's issues, right? Like changing set sizes and like all that weirdness, not having a real draft format. What do you think? Now that we've seen a first look at this set, how good do you think Superheroes is going to be? Does it make you feel a little more comfortable compared to Spider-Man? Richard, what's your gut first impression of this set?
It's cooked, Seth. It's just more Spider-Man. Here's the thing. Spider-Man is one of the most beloved and famous heroes, right? And we're getting like kind of the same set, except now we have like Atuma and Moon Girl and Dinosaur Devil. Like, I know these people from playing Marvel Snap, but I didn't know who they were before Marvel Snap, and I doubt most people will know who these people are at all, right? So it's interesting because all of these special art treatments and stuff are the same from Spider-Man, right? You got like the comic book covers, you got the panel sagas and things like that, and then the bonus sheet is like original comic book art. So it's just more of Spider-Man, except with, in my opinion, lesser heroes. Because Spider-Man, like, if you were to make a pyramid of like the best, most famous things, like Spider-Man is at the top, right? And if Spider-Man is not beloved, I don't know if like Quicksilver's gonna bring it, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
it's
yeah.
a little iffy. And also, as a Marvel Snap player, I feel this is Marvel Snap in Magic the Gathering, right? It's like the same people. They all kind of do the same thing, which like makes sense because it's based off the source material, but Marvel Snap did it first, right? So I'm like, I haven't seen any X-Men here, which is like my actual favorite. So, I mean, I guess Quicksilver,
I don't know about that.
But, you know, it's not the team, okay? Like, in their proper uniforms and whatnot, right? So, I don't know. We'll see. And then I got some flavor nitpicks, which I'm sure we'll get into when we get to the cards. But, I don't know, man. It just feels more Spider-Man-ish, and that reception was not good. So, we'll see. No. We'll see.
Krim, I mean, I'm going to ask you the same thing. I'm sure that you have a pretty positive perception of it. What do you think? Like, is it meeting your expectations? You're the biggest Marvel fan, I think, on the cast. Has it met your expectations so far with what you're looking for out of Marvel superheroes?
Okay. So let's talk about a few things about it. First off, I think the name Marvel Superheroes is kind of bland. I think that is, I was like, okay, come on. Well, we can call it. I know that we.
What
don't
would you
like
call
the,
it? What would you call
dude,
it?
Dude, I don't care. I'd call it Battle for New York at this point, right? Because like I do not care, right? It's just like Marvel superheroes. Like, come on, we know they're superheroes. There's also villains, but you know, like, which is not chill if you love Doctor Doom and like Baron Zemo and all of that, right? But on top of that, I think that some of the nitpicks that I have are the set name is really bad. I think it's probably got the worst looking set symbol I've seen.
Oh, so bad.
I get the idea. I get the idea. You want to go with the comic book, right? But it just, I don't know. Maybe it's because of the digital look of it right now, and it looks way better in person. Unlikely, but it will. It just looks really small and kind
it's
of
too
awkward.
Skinny. Because they wanted the comic book aspect ratio. It needed to be more. Yeah. They put the M because I assume they're going to do DC or something in the future, right? So
I mean,
it just looks really bad.
Like, but you know, like the Marvel logo, right? Like the big red bar or something, like in blocky letters.
Yeah.
You could have literally just written Marvel, and I would have been fine with that. Marvel 1, because or Marvel 2 or whatever, because it's the second set in Marvel. I would have taken that. But I mean, that, and then the Commander Set's logo looks like the fighting energy from Pokemon attached to a attached to, like, I guess, a square. So, again, these are like
now
really,
that you mentioned it,
right? Okay, so you see it, right?
But yeah.
If it weren't for the fact that the cards were sweet. Like, I would say, ooh, that's terrifying, right? Because, like, Spider-Man set logo was cool. I like Spider-Man set logo. That was sweet. But I think the cards here are the main thing. And the cards show a deeper look at what Marvel is. You don't have 42 Spider-Men. I know that was a complaint that we all had. Like, you know, Spider-Man UK, you know, Spider-Man India, Spider-Man, you know, whatever, right? All of them. But now you have all the different versions of characters, all the deeper world that is Marvel. You aren't just the New York City block. You're seeing Atlantis. You're seeing what I mean when I say that, like, Marvel isn't just this basic New York that people think it is, right? Marvel is more than that. And this is where I also have some questions about it because of, like, the cards that are shown. And maybe we'll get into that a little bit later, like some of the bonus sheet cards. But yeah, like, I don't know, we're seeing more of Marvel and a deeper look at Marvel, and so far the overall power level seems way higher. If we were to talk about it in like a three-course meal, Spider-Man is like the initial bread that you get when you sit down to eat, right? And then now this looks like it's bumping up to way more of like what is an entree. So I like this way more when it comes to design. Things seem more juiced. The designs seem way more way more depth to it.
Yeah. I mean, there's some diversity this time, I think, which is so nice compared to Spider-Man. Like, at least it solved the, like, a whole bunch of spider people problem. There's a whole bunch of different characters. I can tell the cards apart, which is kind of nice. So I feel like it's definitely a step in the right direction. I don't know about the power level. I feel like it is probably a step up from Spider-Man. Whether or not it's on par with, like, Avatar, Final Fantasy, it's hard to judge by, like, a handful of early spoilers without knowing what the meta looks like. But I do think it looks stronger than Spider-Man, at least. I'm curious, before we talk about the cards, what is the merch level, the existing merch level of these characters? Because I feel like one thing we've seen from Universes Beyond sets is it seems like the ones that really pop off are maybe underserved a little bit. Their fan base is maybe underserved and doesn't have as much merch. And then the ones like Spider-Man, where there's infinite merch, maybe there's not as much appeal for a Spider-Man fan to buy a magic booster because they have so many options to get their merch anyway. Like, do you feel like this is the same as Spider-Man? Like, is there a ton of merch of all these characters? Or is this offering something more unique to Marvel fans that maybe isn't out there already?
If we were to compare this to, like, the merch comparison is absurd. The gap between what is Spider-Man and the rest of Marvel is absurd, right? Like, okay. I think there was a research that showed, like, I think of IPs, I guess, Spider-Man on his own is, like, a top 10 grossing IP. And, like, top 5 even. And then the rest of Marvel is a solid, like, is like 9th place and 10th place. And it's heavily carried by the fact that the MCU brought in money in the last 15, 20 years or so. So that gives you a better idea of where the popularity is. So yeah. Maybe Richard's right, even if it's blasphemy to hear, that Spider-Man is like a beloved character. I'm not going to lie to you. I love the world around him. You've heard me tell you all of this before, but I actually think he's very overrated. And probably when it comes to comics, nowhere near the qualities that is like Daredevil, that is like all these other stories that are just way deeper. But I get it. Everybody loves to hear a story about a guy down on his luck, you know, doing the right thing.
And so, paying sure. his rent. He's paying his rent. His rent's due.
That sounds like a joke, but that is real, right? Like, being Spider-Man and being behind a mask, you don't get paid for that. No, the government doesn't give you money for that.
That's true. Anyway, let's talk about some of these cards. Give people a better understanding of what's in this set. Richard, why don't you guide us through some of these spoilers?
All right. Let's kick things off with everyone's beloved scientist, Bruce Banner. So, a single blue, 1/1, legendary creature, human scientist, hero. XX tap. Draw X cards. Activate only as a sorcery. 2 red, red, green, green. Transform Bruce Banner. Activate only as a sorcery. Backside is the Incredible Hulk. 2 red, red, green, green. So, this is like the Spider-Man cards. You can cast them directly on the backside, or you can do the front side and flip them back. Legendary creature, Gamma Berserker Hero. Reach, trample, enrage. Whenever the Incredible Hulk is dealt damage, put a +1/+1 counter on him. If he's attacking, untap him. And there is an additional combat phase after this phase.
So we, if y'all were wondering over the weekend why Caltrops is more expensive than ever, well, that's because that goes off with the Incredible Hulk.
So Caltrops does 1 damage to each attacking creature. It's like 3 mana or something to artifacts. So if you give the Incredible Hulk indestructible or there's no blockers, then infinite combat's game ends, right?
Yeah, there's a few ways you can do that, actually. There's, like, an aura that you put on a creature that whenever it attacks, it deals 2 damage to something. So there's a few different ways that you can make it infinite in Commander. So I think this will be, like, probably an interesting Commander. It's in 3 colors. The front side, obviously, pretty weak, but I imagine that's what you want out of the card, to, like, have the contrast between Bruce Banner and the Hulk. What do you think about 60-card formats, though? Is this card playable anywhere, or is this just, like, a fun Commander for Hulk lovers?
I mean, we thought that there would be nothing playable from Spider-Man, but that's actually not true, right? Because I think we saw Superior Spider-Man, we saw all of that. And then more importantly, we saw Gwen Stacy flip into Ghost Spider, right? And so with, obviously this is a bit slower, 2 mana Jace, okay? 2 mana Jace and Shiko, these are things that can suspend or plot the front side. And then you really just play the backside for free. And you can airbend it as well, so whether the question is that backside worth it? Like, right? Like, so Gwen Stacy, when she flips into Ghost Spider, she has haste, I believe.
Yeah.
But Hulk here does not. So, yeah.
8/8 dies to Doomblade. What more do you need to know about this thing?
But I mean, still, like, though, like, 8/8 is a big body. That's actually worth it in a world that is, like, heavily splashing red. Right, you saw the world's meta. There's not as much black mana, so you're really seeing red. Now, of course, that's not a challenge to Is It Lessons, because they can definitely hit 8 spells or so uninteracted with.
I mean, and also Boomerang Basics is everywhere. So I imagine there might be a lot of times you do all the setup and there's, oh, Boomerang Basics, bouncing back to your hand. I do think that Airbending synergy is interesting. We do have, like, Airbender Ascension's 2 mana, Airbender's Reversal, not as good, but 2 mana. So there are ways you can, like, turn 1 Bruce Banner, turn 2 Airbend it, turn 3, get an 8-8, reach Trampler with some amount of upside, I guess, with the Enrage ability. Whether or not that's actually going to be good, I don't know, but I would build a deck around it. I would try it. Like, yeah, there's going to be games when Hulk dies, but also if your opponent can't answer it, it is just going to run away with the game, right? Like, it is an 8-8. Yeah. It is actually really big, and it does have Trample at least. Yeah, if it had Haste, I think it would be really good, but I think it's still worth, like, experimenting at least with the Airbend shenanigans, the plot shenanigans with this card.
Bruce Banner's not a card, right?
No, Bruce Banner's.
You don't want to play him for the front side. It gets swept up in, like, a fire magic, right? Like, it's not grand level, you know, it's not a 1-2, right? It just gets swept up by Iroh's Demonstration and stuff like that. And then you gotta, you know, like, the problem is this, right?
Speed.
The backside is good against red removal, right? Because it just grows them. But the red removal is very good against Bruce Banner, right? So if your dream is to airbend the Bruce Banner, they can double fire lesson you or something. You know what I mean? Like, it's super easy, right? So I don't know about this. This is it's not even game winning, right? Like, I don't know. It's a lot of work for not that much of a payoff.
Is Bruce Banner really weaker than Gran-Gran? I think I need an arm wrestling match between Bruce Banner and Gran-Gran because it's a little weird she's a 1-2 and he's a 1-1, but...
Well, Gran-Gran and him would arm wrestle. She'd snap his arm off, then he'd become giant and green, and then it's different, right?
Gran-Gran can water bend. Bruce Banner's got nothing until he turns into the Hulk, okay? He's got nothing.
Yeah, she blood bends Bruce Banner, he dies, and then that's how Immortal Hulk starts, and that's a great run.
All right. Dr. Doom. Ooh. 4BB, 3/3 legendary creature, human scientist villain. When Dr. Doom enters, create 2/3/3 colorless robot villain artifact creature tokens named Doombot. As long as you control an artifact creature or a plan, that's a new type, Dr. Doom has indestructible. At the beginning of your end step, you draw a card and lose 1 life.
Let's talk about the plan part after, right? But for right now, I think he is super duper bad. But, like, not a villainous bad. I think, like, he is an upgraded precursor golem. And that is...
Wait. Precursor golem? This is Grave Titan.
This is not Grave Titan, and that's my problem. Because this was like, oh, when I first read it, I was like, this is sick. Because, I mean, I think the artwork is great. It gets the awesome comic book cover, which I think now is by far the best treatment of all the universes beyond. But he kind of only makes the Doombots on enter, and that's it. I'm like, wait, this should be on attack, right? This is where is the attack? I read it again. Nowhere does this say on attack.
I mean... You do get a card on your end step, though, compared to Grave Titan. That's something, right? Like, Grave Titan wasn't
indestructible
to Arena. And it's I mean, I don't know how much I care about being indestructible. You still bounce
it
exile.
To
you need the
run.
Artifacts. Like, yeah, it dies to nowhere to run. But it can be bad. Like, I'm surprised, Kermit. I know you're a big Dr. Doom fan. Do you think it's really that bad? Like, when I read this, I see a card where it's like, okay, it's 6 mana. The number of 6 drops that don't have some cheaty effect like Meringue River Region or something that you cast earlier, the Z-Plan standard is like literally 0. I'm looking at the 50 most played creatures. I mean, I guess like, or reanimation targets. You have like Bringer of the Last Gifts, but you're never
this
really
is not a reanimator target.
And this isn't something you'd be reanimating. So being a 6 drop is really rough. That's just a lot of mana in a format as fast as standard. But at the same time, like, 9 power and toughness, 3 bodies, some of it's indestructible. You get a Phyrexian Arena on your end step. That can't be bad, right? Like, are we just, like, so power-crept in 2025 that this card's not good enough?
I think the thing you gotta think about is, like, let's look at it from a 60-card lens first, right? 60-card lens, this dies is nowhere to run, which is common. That is a...
True.
Well, it's uncommon, technically. But it is
but you still
a
got the robots.
Very... You get the robots that are, after. That's pretty good, right? Like, that part's nice. Then you have to sweep the board, which is fair. Actually, you know, no, it's still pretty bad because then at the end of turn, you just get to draw 1 card. But for 6 mana, I think there's just better things you could be doing. And on top of that, there's better targets to be reanimating if we're going that route. So I guess at the end of the day, I like it as a just guy who enjoys Marvel, and it's Doctor Doom. But as a standard playable card, I think it's kind of rough. Obviously, I don't want to, your opponents don't want to bounce this, but there's a strong chance they just don't care and they'll just go right around it, right? And yeah.
It might fall into that weird category where it's like too expensive to hardcast realistically, but not expensive enough to be one of the best reanimation targets. So you don't want to play it in that mode either. So then it just gets left out. But Richard, you've cast some Grave Titans. Is it really as bad as Krim says? Do you really think this card's just straight up trash?
It's a 3/3.
But it comes like along with two more 3/3s.
But Grave Titan, so I don't think Grave Titan's even playable, but Grave Titan is 10 power immediately, and then 4 power every single turn for no investment. And it has Death Touch, by the way, right? So like it actually kills like whatever, right? This, I think, just gets ignored. You know what I mean? Like they fly over top of you, they go wide. You're like, they don't even care, right? And I don't know. 6 is a lot. Standard is way faster than that now, right? I don't think, like, just like your opening hand could be Doctor Doom and 6 lands, right? For you to cast this. Are you going to survive that game? Like, that's what you got to think about, right? Like, 6 mana is a lot, right? And people are winning the game and you're getting to just draw a card. Like, that's what you're doing, right? You're prolonging the game a turn, maybe, and drawing a card. Like, when are these 3/3s actually going to get into the combat zone and finish the game? Like, never, right? Like, they're just going to get chumped infinitely by otter tokens or whatever. You know what I mean? So, I don't... They should have had flying. It should be a 6/6 or something. They should make more Doom bots on attack. I don't know, anything.
Let me give you one more pitch on this card, because I don't think it's quite as bad as you guys think. So, we just had Worlds. We saw the Golgari Aboroid deck that was, like, ramping into literally, like, Ko the Face Stealer. We already know that you can play 6 drops in that deck, because it literally did well at Worlds, playing 6 drops in the deck. You want to go wide because you're in a Aboroid deck. You have Badger Mole Cub to make absurd mana, so you maybe have 6 mana on, like, turn 3. Maybe in that deck is, like, a one-off. I could get behind that, right? Like, you get 3 bodies for a Boroid, you can ramp into it. So I think there's, like, shells where I would be interested in it. Although, even in those shells, I bet you're playing, like, a copy of the card. Like, it's hard for me to imagine this being a 4-of card.
I mean, yeah, like, its best-case scenario is that, like, yeah, one person just really loves Dr. Doom, so they'll just throw it in there so, because it's Dr. Doom.
I think Seth's convinced me. So, because you can ramp into this super fast, and if they had removal, they would have fired it off on the Cub. Like, if you could Tron this in, like, turn 3, turn 4, slap it down, you're out of gas because you spend all your hand ramping and everything, and this draws you back, and the go wide actually helps you for a Boroid. I can see it. But is there really nothing better to ramp into?
Like, I guess maybe not for that deck, right?
Just because you want bodies for Boroid.
It gives you bodies. It draws you cards. Like, those are, like, the two kind of things you want for that deck. So I can see it. Yeah. Maybe Seth is right. Maybe Dr. Doom's not that bad after all.
Yeah, maybe he does pop off. That's fair. It's going to be in a very specific shell.
Yeah.
Right? Is Grave Titan.
You wouldn't play Dimir midrange and slap this bad boy in, right?
No. No, definitely not.
We're not in that era anymore. I don't think Grave Titan would be too good. I think they could have juiced it even more. And the part that I don't like about this card is, honestly, I feel like it's super boring for Commander. I feel like they actually spoiled a lot of interesting cards from the Marvel set, but this is just kind of like generic good stuff. Unless we get a bunch of plans that you build a deck around with these plan cards, like, isn't this like a generic good stuff card? Like, that you just play whatever good black cards you want and that's it? Like, I kind of wish it, like, had more to it for Commander.
I am excited for it because I won't lie to you. Now, we talk about Commander. I am going to build mono black artifacts, right? I think that is going to be a lot of fun.
That's sweet.
And the best part is you got to do it without, like, Anointed Procession. You got to make all these tokens, these Doom bots, and you're doing it the God knows how yet. Let me get to that. And then we'll figure that out. And then...
But, so, yeah, that's kind of cool.
Speaking of plans. So Dr. Doom says, as long as you control an artifact, creature, or plan. So plans must be artifacts, right? Wrong. They're enchantments. Doom reigns supreme. One in a black. Enchantment plan. Whenever a villain you control enters, each opponent loses one life. You gain one life. Put a plan counter on this enchantment. When the fifth plan counter is put on this enchantment, sacrifice it. When you do, target opponent exiles the top five cards of the library. You may cast up to two spells from among the exiled cards without paying their mana costs. So this is like
Brother.
The quest for Dr. Doom, right? It's like you basically get villains, get quest counters. On the fifth one, it pops. You get two things. It reminds me of the oaths too, right? Like the oath of Liliana's or whatever.
Yep.
But like this is gonna play nicely with like Sephiroth and that black white deck. If you can get
is
enough
Sephiroth
villains
a villain?
In there,
what's his? Type?
I don't think he is. But
no.
I'm just saying, like those aristocratic decks. If there's enough villains to throw into the bin, I think you could make something happen with that. But
so I think that's going to be the question, right? Is there enough villains? Because I'm pretty sure the only villains that exist right now are from Spider-Man. So we have Spider. It's basically a Marvel only creature type so far. So I'm not sure. We're gonna have to wait until we get the rest of this set to see if there's enough villains to actually build a deck out of this. If there are, it seems kind of busted. Like once you get to that fifth counter, being able to cast two of your opponent's top five cards for free. A little bit matchup dependent, but the ceiling is super high, and five cards is enough that even in a bad matchup, you should get some value out of it, and you're getting the drain and life gain as it goes along. So if there are enough villains to make a deck, it seems good. I'm just not convinced we have enough villains yet until we see more of this set.
See the talking figures, 60 okay. card or 100 card? What are we talking 60 about
card.
Here?
Oh, 60 cards. 60
you want
cards.
Five villains to enter? Like, who has time for this?
Well,
is there like a
Dr.
villain
Doom
token generator?
Dr. Doom is three.
Oh, Dr. Doom is three. Oh, okay. Okay.
He's three.
And then you blink him, and then you're done.
And then you got it. GG.
But the main thing about this is like, brother, when they revealed this, man, this is what I'm talking about when I managing your expectations. Okay. I see this artwork. I'm like, oh, damn, this artwork is crazy. What's going to happen? This is a board wipe. This is a like something crazy. And it's like, oh, it's a quest.
Yeah.
So
he's
once,
got the
once,
palm of the
he is palming
earth,
the world
earth,
yeah.
The palm of his hands, right? Yeah.
Ball is life. He's about to dunk the earth and it's a quest. So I will say once I took a step back from stemming my expectations and realizing it's not a board wipe and all of that, I'm like, oh, okay, hold on. This is actually really good. Like I think this is pretty good if villains is a thing. And I think this is a solid, cheap two-mana enchantment. It's not like 50 mana. It comes down cheap enough to where you could start the engine early. For how specific villains are, I get it. You want to make it two, but I think it could have been one. Because, right, like, I don't know what's happening when it comes to villains. All I could say is that if it pops off, this is a very good card in it.
I feel like 5 years from now, there's going to be a million villains. So it might be a little future-proofing in the sense that they know they're going to be doing all these Marvel sets. And maybe like 3 years from now, since cards last in Standard so long, they're like, oh, there's going to be 21 drop villains in Standard and it would just be busted. So, but yeah, with our current villains, you could make this one mana perfectly fine, I think, and get away with it.
And now, okay, this is another thing I wanted to talk about when it comes to Dr. Doom here. We talked about Dr. Doom, the six drop. We talked about Doom Reigns Supreme. And now, does this mean we will get more Doom, because you guys, okay, Seth, Richard, y'all are just saying Dr. Doom lowercase. You have to say it all caps, or else
Doom.
All caps creepster font. And so the main thing is...
Is Dr. Doom a comedic character? So there's the Horde of Greed, right? With the horde from the beam. And it's he's like tooting a horn. It says literally toot. And it says, fool, Dr. Doom does as he pleases. So is he actually a comedic character? What is the lore of Dr. Doom here, Crib? You gotta set us straight here, because what is up with that?
Okay, if you go back and read his comic book appearances early on, I would say yes. Because he's like the, you know when villains are so... old school, they're like, meh, I'm gonna go tie you to the train tracks, twirls mustache. That's kind of like how you have to read it. And in that sense, yes, he is hilarious, right? That whole tooting the horn thing, that was a meme online where somebody added more toots and photoshopped that. And it's got a lot of like memeage history, but Who Doctor Doom becomes, now that's a villain. That's a, you know, obviously the years progress, the comics get better, the writing gets better, and he's less meh, and instead, like, more like Doom, and where, yeah, he's still got
that's so much better, Krim.
maybe the mustache twirling is better. I don't know. The main thing is I just love who he becomes, and he, you know what? He absolutely pantses my baby boy, Doctor Strange himself, and takes the Sorcerer Supreme title from him. This is where, like, what I'm wondering is which iterations of Doom we'll see, right? Because I don't imagine this is the only Doom we'll get, because he's such a big villain, right? You have his Emperor Doom when he has the white cloak from Secret Wars. You have Sorcerer Supreme Doom, right? So there's, I would say those are, like, the three big points of Doom. The only concern I have is that Sorcerer Supreme Doom just wrapped up comic book wise, like I think last month. So that might be too recent.
I wonder if there actually are going to be multiple versions of these characters. Cause I was like, I actually Googled this cause I was curious, and there's a lot of Marvel superheroes. Like apparently yes. They have like 80,000 characters and like hundreds of superheroes. If you go back through all the books. So maybe they don't double up that much. At least, I mean, maybe they do a little bit, but I imagine it's going to be less than we see in some sets, just because it seems like they actually have so many characters to work with in this set.
Yeah, there's a lot. And this is one of the things that I'll tie back to when it comes, when we talk about the bonus sheet, or at least a card from it. And I don't know. I there's a lot of Marvel to cover. And this is what I mean when I say that the world of Marvel, not just Marvel, but like comics, is so deep and overlooked and often written off that I think that there's a lot here. And I think there's a lot of good stories, lots of things to be talked about. Even if Richard is out here pooping on Avatar's, like, you know, deeper messages and
Wait,
whatnot.
I'm the best Avatar fan now, Krim. You okay. Missed the whole arc. I watched All the live right. action. I'm watching Legend of Korra. I'm actually number one Avatar stan here.
you are the three drop in white Avatar enthusiast.
I can tell you guys that you're being super hopeful because you can just see, okay? Like, do we have a Doctor Doom movie? No, but we do have like the fourth reboot of Spider-Man happening, right? Like, you will just
Comics,
get Spider-Man,
Richard.
Captain America, Iron Man, like the popular ones. Redone over and over and over again because they're just more popular than, you know, Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur, right? So you will see like a token background appearance, but, you know, like, just look at all, like, I'll tell you, Hasbro toys, like, you know, their figures, they reboot 97 X-Men team, like that core team, like 8,000 times, right? Like, there's like 86 Wolverines you can get, 86 Cyclops you can get, but all the other characters, nah, right? Because, like, they're not just popular, right? Even though they exist in the universe, there's, like, you know, hardcore fans. I'm not even talking about, like, obscure. I'm talking, like, Cable, you know, like, you know, Juggernaut. Like, you know, just random characters that you probably recognize. They just don't stand up to Wolverine. So we will get Wolverine rehashed, like, 800 times. So Dr. Doom doesn't have that star power, I don't think. He doesn't have a movie. He doesn't have his own movie, does he?
He does have a movie. He does. It's coming out.
Wait. Oh, it's coming out?
Avengers
okay.
Doomsday.
Okay.
So
okay,
that's
okay,
the
okay.
next Avengers movie, but irrelevant, right? Because this is not MCU. I think the main thing here is that if you are staying true, and they mean this, if they mean this, that they are staying true to comic books, Doctor Doom is a big deal.
You gotta think that they're like, character-wise, they're going to the comic books, but there's no way they don't consider, like, the popularity of the movies when they're deciding stuff, right? They have to take into account, like, stuff like that, I would think.
I mean, maybe when it comes to, like, the, maybe, like, selection of certain characters,
right?
But,
yeah, it's gotta,
but, like,
gotta play into it a little.
But, I mean, Doctor Doom, already we've seen, this is why I love this set, right? So far, this looks sweet because you're not only seeing Doctor Doom, right? I would say he's A-lister. But you're seeing Thunderbolts, and I'm not talking movie Thunderbolts, because movie Thunderbolts, as much as I enjoyed it, is nothing like the comic books. So you're seeing actual
comic
book Thunderbolts.
But the movies paved way for this card, though. Without the movie, there's no way this card would be here.
Maybe. But, like, you're seeing Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur, right? You're seeing World War Hulk.
I still don't believe that's a superhero, honestly.
Yeah, are you making this up? No, like, this is real.
I think there's a Saturday morning cartoon or something of Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur. There's some media of it, yeah.
But World War Hulk is here, and, like, I know if you're a comic book reader, you're thinking these are all A-list stories, and it's like, yeah, of course. They're going to choose the popular ones, but I would say the mass, like, not everyone's going to—I guarantee you, maybe 70% of players, of Magic players, will not know what World War Hulk is, or Planet Hulk, and, like, you know, Sakaar and all
are
of
these
that,
just
right?
Hulks? So, are these different versions, or what is
they,
this?
They are,
is this
they
a storyline?
This is a storyline, the world of Hulks, but people forget that, like, Hulk is where Hulk goes and the mortal Hulk and all of that. You're going to see Hulk be more than just this brute that smashes. He actually talks and thinks, and then there's devil Hulks in like immortal Hulk and all of that. So you're going to see this world ideally, right? Like, they're showing World War Hulk. So that means you're probably going to get his wife. And maybe you don't. Maybe this is just the only nod, but at least they're willing to give a nod to the popular comic books.
And they also said during the stream that this is like a long-term partnership with Marvel. So even if we don't get some of the stuff this time, I imagine they're going to keep going to this well again and again and again if it sells a bit. We'll see.
If it sells.
Spider-Man is still like, man, it just marked down so low right now. So I'm curious to see how this one does, if it sells better than Spider-Man did.
Doesn't this has got the appeal that Spider-Man didn't, right? And it's that, right? I think after previews, I think EDH Rec talked about the spike in like decks being built for like all the cards revealed, right? And it looked like by those numbers there was more hype building cards around this set, at least casually, than there was with like Spider-Man.
I think that makes sense, because with Spider-Man, like, what are you gonna build? A Spider-Man deck, like, because that was the only option. So at least this has other options that you can build around. So I think that by default is gonna make it somewhat more popular, I would say. But what are some more of these cards, Richard? We've only got through like two cards so far.
Well, disrespect to Dr. Doom and his plans. Namor, the submariner. Mariner? Mariner? I don't even know.
Yeah. Submariner.
One blue.
Namor.
Legendary creature, mutant, merfolk, villain. He's a mutant. Spoils. Flying, star 4. He flies? What? Okay. Powers.
Yeah. You don't see those ankle wings? Those bad boys?
I thought those were swimming.
Days.
Okay. his powers equal to the number of merfolk you control. Whenever you cast a non-creature spell with one or more blue mana symbols in its mana cost, create that many 1/1 blue merfolk creature tokens.
It's so funny because I'm so clueless when it comes to Marvel stuff that I don't know any of these characters. And as soon as I saw this, I was like, wait a minute, that's Mr. Nimbus from Rick and Morty. Oh, that was actually a Marvel reference? I didn't even realize that. This card's kind of busted though, right? Like, is this card not for standard necessarily, but the last ability to me seems so strong. Modern Merfolk, Legacy Merfolk, they're already playing Force of Will and Legacy, Flare Denial, Force of Negation in Modern. Don't you just, like, slam this and counter your opponent's stuff and, like, grow Namor and one-shot your opponent or, like, get the Voltron kill? I feel like this could actually be, like, a modern playable card. This is one of the constructed cards out of the spoilers I think I'm most excited about. I think it's most likely to actually be good in a 60-card format.
I think this card is very good. I think this card
is
very good.
That's just two 1/1s, right? So you play this, you Force of Will, yeah, and then you make two 1/1s.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
In Merfolk.
Yeah, but 3/4 flyer.
I mean, that's good, but like it's not. I don't know that's like, wow, right? Like that's the end of the world. You know,
wait.
Because your normal Merfolk don't trigger this, right? Like if you play a Lord or something, it's not a non-creature.
Only non-creature.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
But those 1/1s.
So it's literally Force of Will and like some Vapor Snag or some random garbage you would play like that, right? Like.
But that would net you free Merfolk. Just like doing things that you were already going to do and then netting free Merfolk from it. And then on top of that,
Are we playing Force of Will?
Him coming down? Huh? Oh, okay, ooh. Force of Negation, whatever. Whatever the modern denial. Flare of Denial. And also, yeah, Flare of Denial. Like, you have so
wait,
many
what's
free
the cast on Flare?
Spells.
How many pips are in there?
One blue blue.
Two. They're both two blue pips, yeah. So you get
two blue
pips.
Okay, okay.
Man, if Flare of Denial didn't say non-token creature, this card would insta-be busted, right? But I don't think this is going to be, like, the ending of modern. This isn't, like, going to blow up modern and that's it. It's over. It's Merfolk winner. But it is a very strong Merfolk, right?
Yeah, I think it's strong. And you got to remember, too, we're talking Merfolk. And Merfolk is, like, the lordiest deck that exists in Magic. Like, it's all about stacking up Lord of Atlantis, Master of the Pearl Trident, all these lords. So even though those tokens are 1/1s, in the context of a Merfolk deck, a lot of times it's going to be counter your thing, make 2 3/3s or 4/4s or something, which I think is probably good enough. But I don't know. You don't like it, Richard? But
I mean, it's
you're
okay.
A legacy Merfolk player.
It depends on what you need out of your three drop, though. Do you need more cards? Do you need to go? Because this thing dies to Doomblade. You know what I mean?
Like, it does.
You put it down and they kill it and does
Dodge's
nothing.
Bolt.
So it depends what you need out of your three drop slot. I could see it making the deck, but it's not like, wow, Merfolk is tier zero now. It's like,
right.
Okay, it's a fine. It's a fine inclusion. But I don't know if you're playing things like. Are we playing Force of Will in Merfolk still, right? Are we playing these cards? I don't know, right?
I haven't looked at Legacy Merfolk recently, so I'm not sure about Legacy. But I know in Modern Merfolk, they do play the 8 free counters typically with 2 pips.
Yeah.
So.
Because it still has the same problem, right? You like Supreme Verdict, the whole thing goes away. Like, you know, like so it depends what you're looking for. I don't know what current day Merfolk are looking for out of their draft slot, because there's card draw, there's protection, there's like can't be touched. There's a lot of different Merfolks you can slot in.
But like this one, I think like generates the bodies with the free spells, and I think that alone is worth it, right? Like that's real nice. I know, obviously, I don't think that I don't know, freaking Merfolk is going to be the tier one deck, but Merfolk will definitely like this.
Yeah, it might just be like a 1/1 or 2/1 since it's legendary, but I have a hard time imagining that like modern Merfolk are at least not going to experiment with this card. It seems like on the power level that it can be a modern playable Merfolk.
My God. Actually, yeah, because if you look at the current modern list, you have Sink into Stupor, Force of Negation, Flare of Denial, and Strix Serenade. So a full group of just
counter spells.
Like that's 13, and that's 3 of each except for Sink into Stupor. They use that as a MDFC actually, so full play set of those. And if you take that into account, that's 13 spells.
Do we still Aether Vial? Are we still Aether Vial?
You can go down like you still Aether Vial.
So you can actually like fire off like 2-3 spells like after playing this and like untap with like a giant army, right? And this guy flies too. So between Island Walk and flying and the Lord effects, like this is like a one shot, right? Yeah.
Pretty close. One or two.
It's the ankle wings, Richard. It's the ankle wings. That's why he flies, okay? Look, and
wait,
I'm
does
glad
he actually have ankle wings?
Yeah. Yes. That's one of the most things that are memed about when it comes to Namor. He's a classic character. But he's so badass. He's like Aquaman, but cooler. I know that's not a high bar for some, but like he is. Yeah. Brother, have you seen him ride a Kraken? That thing is cool as hell.
How do ankle wings even work? Like the mechanics of that seem a little bit weird to me, but okay.
You know,
you'll have to ask those questions to Greek mythologists or whatever. Right? We gotta go back in time for the invention of ankle wings.
Plus, on top of that, Seth, the guy's in speedos, right? He's in a speedo flying around with ankle wings.
He is flying around in a speedo.
How much more? You know, there's got to be a lot of suspension of disbelief here, right? But I am here for it because Namor is so badass.
All right. What if we take the ankle wings away and ride a shark? We got Atuma, Atlantean Warlord, 4 mana, 3/4, double pips blue. Other Merfolk you control get +1/+1. Whenever one or more Merfolk you control attack a player, draw a card. It's uncommon, by the way.
Yeah.
This is just
uncommon.
Do we play this? This is a very slow lord.
Good commander.
In commander, yes.
Draws cards, right?
I play it in commander. The problem is Merfolk has so many lords already. Maybe not in standard. Could this work in standard?
Are we still master of waves? Is that still a thing? Is that too slow?
Is Merfolk... Yeah. What's even legal for Merfolk? Oh, actually, I did play that old for a bit. I made a video around a blue-green Merfolk deck with the exhaust Merfolk from Aether Drift.
And we still have the, like, Lost Caverns of Ixalan merfolk. There was, the one drop that taps to put counters on everything and draw cards. And, like, there's a few merfolk. There's, like, a sub-theme there. So, like, there are some. I don't think, there's no way this is, like, a modern card or a pioneer card or anything. Like, four mana is just way too much. I think I would play this in probably every commander deck, at least.
Yeah, I think this has got to be a fun one in Commander. But
right.
He's
I just wanted to throw it in there for our fish friends. But we got the juicy one coming up, okay?
The coming of
Galactus. 2BG. So 5 mana saga. 1, destroy up to 1 target non-land permanent. 2 and 3, each opponent loses 2 life. 4, create Galactus, a legendary 16/16 black elder alien creature token with flying trample, and whenever Galactus attacks, destroy target land.
Man,
I hate card
makes me sad.
This card is so bad. First of all, okay, we gotta get the nerd glasses on, okay? First of all, 16/16, bigger than Emrakul, smaller than Merit Lodge.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes, this guy should be a 50-50, okay?
And
it's 50-50. Galactus.
50-50.
He's the eater of worlds, and when he eats worlds, he destroys a single planes. This he needs the Armageddon on every single attack, right? Like, he literally just destroys worlds, and here we are destroying a single land. And he's just a smidge bigger than Emrakul, but smaller than
I mean, that should show you how strong Emrakul is. This is not a shortcoming of Galactus. This is, you're comparing him to Emrakul. On top of that.
And it's slow as molasses. It's like, your motor's called Galactus is coming, but it's very far away. We could finish the game before this happens.
But tell me that that's not flavorful, because it's like, yo, Galactus is on his way, guys. I'm here. I'm the Silver Surfer. I'm the Herald. Okay. Well, he's going to be here in 5 months. Okay. Yeah, we got time. We're going to devise a plan. Come on, guys. On top of that. All right. So Galactus, the shortcomings of this card really comes only in one form. It's that first chapter itself does not blow up land.
Yes. Oh. That's BS.
I think that first chapter should blow up a land. I do not think that he needs to Armageddon, because it's not like Galactus eats every planet all at once. Well, I guess in some worlds he could. But like the main thing here is he comes down, and he should be able to just blow up one land right away. But then again, I guess that would be a flavor fail of the coming of Galactus, because
he's
already here. Yeah.
Let's say a rock falls out of the ground, right? That's called stone rain. That destroys a land. Okay. This is Galactus. Galactus destroying a single land. That's not even an effect. And then you know who beats Galactus? Apparently Sokka and his boomerang. Because one boomerang basics and Galactus is done, right?
I live to see Galactus arrive? That's a W, all right? That's a W.
I'm just shocked there's no protection on the token. Like, that's the part that gets me with this card. Like, when we're comparing to Emrakuls and Merit Lodges and so forth, those are indestructible or, like, untargetable by everything. There's not even a ward on this. There's just literally no protection. So I don't know Galactus that much, but I imagine it's a pretty meaningful, scary, hard to defeat alien. And the fact that he just dies to everything just seems wrong to me. And you got to wait so many turns. Like, after you wait till turn 9 to finally get the thing, I think having some amount of ward on there or whatever would be fine. But
my issue is really bad. Funny enough, those are not the big issues either. I can forgive. I get it. You have to actually power balance this for a game, so the first chapter can't blow up a land, but chapters 2 and 3 only making a lose 2 and not a drain 2 or something like that, you know what I mean? I think that's the main thing here. But I actually love the idea of a token Galactus. I love the first chapter blowing up some stuff, but I wish it could be a land. However, I think this is one of those things where when you think about Marvel superheroes and Galactus and all that he is, you can only lean into the flavor so much without breaking the game, because every hero would have to be having indestructible. They're like, right, because the immortal Iron Fist can't die or else he's not immortal, right? Like,
just so it's clear, I'm not arguing this from a Marvel flavor perspective. I'm arguing it from a magic perspective. Like, if you want me to play this card, you got to give it some protection, or I'm going to do all this work and then they're just going to kill it. And like, why would I put this card in my deck then? So I feel like with how epic the monster feels, that like some protection would have been worth it. But you are right that you can't make every hero indestructible or the game would just fall apart.
How about your 5-drop 16-16? It doesn't die to Doomblade per se, but you know, it can shoot the sheriff. You know, you can.
He has no protection
whatsoever.
He's a rogue.
Oh, guys. Galactus is coming. Doomblade. Never mind.
We're good.
What? Okay. Okay. But now we memed on this card the whole time. Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur. 1 green and a blue. 2/2. Human Dinosaur Hero. When you draw your second card each turn until end of turn, Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur's base power and toughness become 6/6, and they gain trample. Whenever an artifact you control enters, draw a card. This ability triggers only once each turn. Ah, yes. Overtuned Simic card.
This card's kind of busted.
Crazy,
right?
It's got the curse symbol. Look away, longtime Magic players. It's the cursed mana. 1 in Simic. 1 green, blue.
Oh. I mean, we've seen already, like, in Standard, we have Land of War Elves, so you can ramp into this on turn 2. Turning into a 6/6 trampler when you draw your second card, which you can do just by having an artifact enter, that is really, really big and scary for a 3-drop. And we already have cards that work with it. We got, like, Spyglass Siren would be in a deck like this that makes an artifact that'll trigger it and make it a 6/6. The 3-drop Merfolk one that makes a map token that people play. Like, you can easily build a deck all of good cards that fits right in. This might fit into, like, some version of the Simic deck that, like, skews a little bit more towards, like, the cookie end to get more artifacts in there. The only question I have is, like, it does just to Firebending Lesson naturally, so like the floor is kind of low, but the ceiling seems pop off high.
So okay, yes, it could just die to a shock, right? But you got to remember that you could easily sack a clue, or not sack a clue, but like it had to be on your turn, right? Whenever you draw your second card, you could sack a clue on your turn, then do the thing.
That's true. Yeah, you can kind of protect it a little bit, although.
Your protection is Land of War Elf into Badrimal Cub into Moon Girl. Like you got 3 shocks in your hand. Like you just overload them, right? Like, and you have to have it on time. Otherwise, it's just Uro, right? And like it just nope. Like, not only are you drawing cards, you're getting smacked in the face by a 6/6 trample, right? So you're trying to answer this while they're drawing cards. This card's good. This card.
I think this card is also pretty.
I think
good.
It's good. Like, I think it's one of the better cards from the set
honest,
so far.
I guess not honest, but it is a very strong card. It is honest in the current year. Just 3 mana, 6/6.
Yeah. I mean,
right.
And then we're talking about flipping the Incredible Hulk. I'm like, how about we just do this? We just play this and draw cards and like smack him to death, right?
This card being 3 mana, and that's why we think it's good. I think this is also a deeper rooted issue in that, like, if standard doesn't see turn 4 and 5, right? Like these 4 and 5 drops, that's why we're kind of like memeing on it. And it has to be 3 or under. I don't think that's a problem with the set per se. Yeah, that sounds more like we may have had too much of a power creep issue. So I do think that Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur, though, are in line with the power creep things that we've been doing. So, I could see it definitely getting played there because it's good top end at 3 mana.
That's the finisher. That's the finisher. Yeah. Plus, like, it triggers every turn with the card draw, too, if you make an artifact, which is hard to do. I think the card's really, really good.
It's everything wrong with 2020. It's also, like, crazy good on the play, but like crazy bad on the draw, right? Because like if you're not attacking with this thing, it's like so bad.
Oh, it's
right?
So
it's
bad.
Like a 2/2
so
on defense. So when you lose the dice, this card is like horrendous, right? So it's everything wrong with 2025, right? Like go fast, be first, win the tempo, right? Ugh.
Yeah, that is 2025 magic. Speaking of going fast, I gotta I got to ask you about this one card just because I don't know if it's good or not. Yeah. Quicksilver, Brashfleur. Yeah. The one mana 1/1, but it's like a ley line. So if it's in your opening hand, you would just start with it on the battlefield. And it has haste, and you can power it up by paying 5 mana to put a +1/+1 counter on it and a double strike counter on it. So eventually you can turn into a 2/2 double strike. Is a 1 mana 1/1 haster that starts the game in play if it's in your opening hand, is it good? I've seen, I don't know if we got any Hearthstone players out there, but I've seen people comparing this to Patches the Pirate in Hearthstone, which is a little different. That card kind of was broken in Hearthstone, but Patches would come from your deck, right? So it is, I think this is a worse version since you got to actually have it in your opening hand when Patches you just have floating in your deck and get the value out of it. But is this good? Like, is this the new red one drop? Does this beat out Hired Claw and like the good red one drops we have in Standard? Is it just a meme card? What do you think, Krim?
It gets blocked by Hired Claw.
Pretty and Grand. It gets blocked by Grand.
Grand. But okay, I this card is so polarizing, and I feel that because it is either the most unplayable just vanilla 1/1, or the fact that okay, it's best case scenario, you get a free 1/1 that starts on the battlefield. I do like that power up is a it looks like a different take on monstrosity. And it seems like an interesting mechanic, at least when it comes to design, because it has to juggle between either A, being cheap, but not too clunky, because, yeah, sure, power-up can reduce its cost if it's nice, big, 5-mana creature, but that would mean that it's a 5-mana creature, and that it would get stuck in your hand. So power-up, however, right, because, like, activate each power-up ability only once, reduce the cost by mana cost if he entered this turn, right? So... You have to do this dance where, okay, it is a 1 cost. So, all right, I could pay 4 mana to power this up. And so the idea of power up, I think, is very interesting because it has to be the perfect cost. I don't know.
It's not the perfect. It's a 5-mana 2/2 double striker with haste.
but if the card costs too much, would you play it? Right? Like, would you play a 4 drop? Because then it means power up 1. But then now you're holding a 4-drop.
It probably depends on the ability, right? Because I imagine you can have power-up be anything. It doesn't have to be double strike necessarily. So, it's a really cool mechanic. Like, it is interesting. I honestly thought it was just like a flavor word and it only worked with Quicksilver, but apparently it's an actual set mechanic. So I just realized that.
It's a set mechanic. That's sweet. And then what I assume is a set mechanic is why would Quicksilver
the reminder text makes it seem like it's actually
why would Quicksilver be the only one to have that, right? That would be weird. So I assume that's got to be a mechanic. But the main thing is this could come off the top and get double strike on the later points of the game, and I do like that.
It's a way to keep it relevant, right? It's not like I don't think it's busted either at 3 or 1 mana or at 4 mana where it's a 2/2 double strike. But it is a 1 drop that at least it does something off the top in the late game. I could imagine, like, there's games I play where Emberheart Challenger coming off the top of my opponent's deck is the card I'm most scared of because I'm like, oh, I just couldn't leave up removal. If they draw this haste, I'm going to die. So there are going to be times when just having this 4 power or 4 damage coming down by surprise is going to be really scary in the mid game.
But the problem is the early game when you, like, it's like a ley line, right? The difference
is... It literally is.
It is a ley line, but the difference between this and a ley line is that this costs 1. It feels very bad to cast the like, second and third ley line. I don't know when you ever need that many, but... Because those are unrealistic 4-mana, like, enchantments, right? This is a 1-drop, that's nice, but it's legendary, and it's a 1/1 only. And you have to run enough to where you get it for free. So
if it wasn't legendary, it would be so funny because then you could somehow high roll into like starting with 4 of them on the battlefield, like some tiny percent of the time. And that would be like a funny thing to try to do. But being legendary, it takes it away. Richard, you haven't said much. Is this card busted?
Were you guys paid off by Big Marvel? This is like the most like I want you to have Quicksilver in your opening hand. So it's a mold 6 for me. It's a 1/1. Like, it's a 1/1 with no synergies, okay? Like, if it was a mouse, we might talk, right? You know, if it had something, anything, right? It's literally a 1/1, which is bad enough because guys, it's a 20-turn clock, if you don't realize this, a 1-1, right? But it gets stonewalled by Grand Grand, like any X2, a Badger Mole Cub, an earthbending, like literally anything stops it, and it gets swept up. People, you know, when people are ottering all over the place, you like to play these one-mana sweeper things. This thing gets swept up with it. It's so bad. There is...
But it's free.
It's not free. Okay, Krim, if you could just mull the six and start with the 1-1, would you ever do that? Like, think of any, like, even in a mono red deck, right? Your one card is supposed to do more than one damage. You know what I mean?
But the thing here is you are getting...
like 3-4 damage apiece, right?
Let's say best case scenario, you do have it turn one. You play this, and I'm not talking about the pump and cheese and none of that, right? I'm talking about... You have a one drop and you just play another one drop. So that means I've just put two bodies out on turn one. Mm-hmm. Is that not good? Yeah. With a red deck who wants to just have aggression, it doesn't matter. All their creatures essentially are 1/1s and 2/2s, so they're all vanilla. The main thing is you get one additional free body on the board to keep up the pressure. And the only thing that can help them is fire magic or like it has to be fire magic.
I mean, it does put two bodies. So
if I was any deck, I'd be like, yo, discard a card, put a 1/1 on the battlefield, and we play the game. I would give you that every single time, probably. Right?
Most times
I would give you that trade, and I'm like, oh, and shuffle in 3/1/1 haste bricks into your deck. Go. Right? Like, yes, right? Like I'm actively cheering for this. Right? This just does not do enough. You need that.
Maybe you're right.
Remember that enchantment that like gave 1/1s plus 2 plus 0 or whatever when they attack or it pings one down? Like if there's some kind of inherent synergy, then you could start talking to make up for the fact that it's a 1-mana 1/1. But like, it's so bad. Like it's not a mouse. It doesn't have any synergies. It hits for like 1 or 2 damage before it does absolutely nothing. Right?
Richard, I think one thing we've learned time and time again is free things are always good.
It's not free, though. It costs you a card. It's not patches. It doesn't come out of your deck.
It doesn't come out of your deck, but it's still free. I think that, like, yeah, you go down a card, but I don't know. This is either the worst card or the best thing ever. And we're going to see when it comes
out.
Like,
Otter, like, hold up a mana. What are you going to do? Attack into the Otter? You're going to attack into Grand Grand? I play a 2/2. What are you going to do about it? Like, it gets stonewalled so fast, right?
Unless you're in the Leyline deck with a bunch of pump spells. Like, that would be the one home I could see. I will say, someone, it might have been Neotuk, our editor, brought up that they printed, Chancellor of the Forge 15 years ago, which was actually very soon. I kind of forgot that card existed, but it's like, if it's in your opening hand, you reveal it, and you can start with a 1/1 haste token in play, and no one ever played that card, and that was, 15 years ago Magic. People weren't doing it. And this is, in some ways, better, because you can cast it. Like, Chancellor 7 mana or something ridiculous, so you're never going to cast it if you draw it late. But that card didn't break anything. But I still think, in the Leyline style red decks, maybe that's the home. You can take advantage of Double Strike in those decks. You can potentially take advantage of just, having a body on the battlefield because it frees you up to cast pump spells. So I think there could be a home for it, but I think it's probably not a broken card, especially as a legend.
Even if you have the firebending, cadets, so you can actually attempt to power this up using firebending, right? Because you can use your firebending mana. 5 mana is so much, right? Because you turn one, play this down, attack. Turn two, cadets, firebending lesson. Turn three, you get 2 mana. You can sink all your mana to give this double strike. Like, even with firebending, it's so hard to power this up into anything useful. Like, 5 is like infinity. If we're talking about 3 as the top end of your curve, would you like to spend 5 to, you know, put a +1/+1 and double strike, right? If it was a lot cheaper, if it was like 2 or 3 to power up, you could be talking. Right, but we have the Avatar card, the 2-mana 1/3 prowess for 3 mana. You can give it a double strike. Barely limited playable, right? Like, just a double striker is not enough. Right?
But Maya's always 2. She's not free. I'm sorry. Okay. I get it. I see the same things you're seeing, but it's free.
You're a card economy. You're like, that one card does 1 damage. I'll take it. Right?
Yeah,
I'll take that from you, right?
Control player that has to now deal with 2 threats and is forced to have the answer. Right? Like,
you're not forced to answer anything. You can take this for three turns in a row and it's still just three damage.
Or 19 turns in a row.
I don't know about that.
Like, that's the problem. It doesn't present any kind of meaningful clock. You're like, I'll just take two and then sweep it up with my Iroh's demonstration. Thank you.
Right? I will say this. If they do it, this would be historic in another direction. I think it'd be historic that this, if it is bad, it would be the first free spell that I think is like just absolutely atrocious and unplayable. Right?
There's lots of unplayable ley liners back in the day.
If we're counting ley, yeah,
this is a ley line. It's not a free spell, right? It's a ley line.
Yeah, it's a ley line. Yeah, okay, never mind.
So the dream is Quicksilver into four ley line of whatever the red ley line is and a pump spell, but that's not enough for turn one lethal, right?
That's
because
like
three times more.
Ley lines?
Yeah, you go four ley lines and you play
your
a pump
best pump
spell.
Spells plus three, I believe, for one mana. So you'd get plus 12, plus 15. So you'd hit for 16 altogether on turn one with like the dream draw.
It's not enough.
First off, guys, what you're asking for is to die on turn one, and we don't want that. So,
the meme potential is afforded here, but it doesn't even have the meme potential.
Just remember, if you took 16 on turn one against a red deck, you're already upset. So, they also have no hand left. Sure, but that's two shocks and you die right afterwards. So. Maybe we don't hope for the turn one kill here. You know what I mean, guys?
Yeah, that might be for the best. So we're going to have to wrap it up in just a minute because we're running along. But, Krim, I know you want to mention a card on the bonus sheet. What bonus sheet card is interesting to you?
Oh, right. Yes. Okay. So the one thing is Ephemerate, right? You look at Ephemerate and it's got Spectrum on there, right? We all know what Ephemerate does, but the bonus sheet version has Ephemerate. And this makes me wonder how much of the worlds of Marvel are we getting? Are we even getting Spectrum? What does this mean?
What does Spectrum mean for us?
Yeah.
Not the internet provider.
Yes. Not the terrible internet provider. But Spectrum, the one thing I wonder is because she has to do a little bit more with space as well. So when you think of Marvel, remember how we talked about, it's just going to be New York City. But you look at, Spectrum, you look at all these other characters, you see like World War Hulk. Does this mean this set, how big is this set as a whole? Does anybody know? It's like 200 plus cards, right? So
yeah, around there.
This means they could be bouncing around between not only just Earth, Atlantis, but space as well. So is this the set where we get my boy Nova? Do we get, like, how much of Marvel are we getting? And I know it's not exactly a lot. Like, the bonus sheet doesn't mean anything per se with, like, set direction and whatnot when it comes to the vision of the planes. But if I see space-related things, I gotta wonder, do we then see Annihilation? Do we see The Brood? Do we move into all of this? As a comic book fan, that's awesome because if we're talking Spider-Man gets the 50, like, comic book series every 2 minutes... Space gets, like, I need you to understand, this Nova comic that I have in my background here, written by Jed McKay, came out, like, a couple weeks ago. That is the first bit of, like, cosmic that I've really gotten that I've enjoyed in, like, years. So, you do not get a lot of space love when it comes to cosmic and the occult and all of that. So, I wonder how much we're going to see. And that's why I bring up Spectrum, because I'm very curious, the worlds of Marvel, where are we going? How much of it are we getting? And I know that Thunderbolt's Conspiracy is a card that doesn't look crazy, but it's flavorfully sound. And on top of that, you see Citizen V. You see the early 90s Thunderbolts, the Kurt Busiek, all of that. But I am now curious, does that mean we get West Coast Avengers? Yes, I know. There's a coastal...
Wait, is this like Spider-Man India, Spider-Man UK?
We got the
West Coast Avengers?
West Coast for life, and on top of that, why not, right? Why not? I know they don't call them Avengers.
Why don't they just make a new... Why don't they just make a new character? Why don't they just put a location and do... Oh, Marvel, I don't understand.
Look, this is West Coast Avengers. Say what you will. Look, I know the name is silly, but... Hey, we get to now see other planes outside of New York. We get to see LA. And we also get Moon Knight. I want all of that. And this set right now, the main thing that I want to wrap it up with is that it's giving a lot of depth in when it comes to the world of Marvel. And I love that. And we even glossed over one of the coolest things in the century, because the century essentially is the return of the hunted cycle. If y'all don't remember the hunted cycle, like hunted horror or whatever, 2 mana, 7/7 trample, give your opponent 2 green, 3/3 centaurs or whatever with pro black, yada, yada, yada. This gives a void, and that void has to attack each combat if able, but the sentry is flying, vigilant, and indestructible. That's awesome, right? Like, that is awesome. This is such cool design. Is that playable? I think that's really good, right? But I feel like...
Wait, in 60 card formats?
Yeah, in 60.
You're gonna give your opponent a 5/5 indestructible?
No.
Play it against me, Grim. Yes, it's very playable. Yes, let's battle. You build a deck with Sentry.
I'm curious.
We'll go one on one.
Is he not good enough?
Quicksilver into the Sentry? Unbeatable.
I think it's not gonna. I heard people pitching, oh, you just boomerang basics it. It's got attack, so it can't block anyway. And I'm like, yes, there are ways you could build around it, but if it goes wrong, it's so bad for you, right? Like, you can't just give your opponent a free 5/5 indestructible. That's
but
just
you
so
yourself
risky.
Yourself have a 5/5 indestructible flying vigilant.
True. That's true. Good in Commander, like a haunted.
Okay,
creature,
okay.
You can
okay.
Like give your opponent and you know get the archenemy, but. I would be shocked if this card was standard playable. Literally, to me, it reads like the least standard playable card that we've talked about today, but it would be cool. I hope we live in that world.
So, oh, man. Also, did you know that Captain America from this set dies to stab? And that's hilarious. You could say you stabbed Captain America and then he dies because shield counter. For those that don't know, there's a new cap. He enters with a shield counter. He's a 3/2. That's all that's really relevant. For the most part, he gives all while he has a shield counter, you and other heroes you control have hexproof. He still dies to -2/-2. So that means you can stab Cap. And that's hilarious to me.
Oh, that poor card.
Ooh, on Crim's World's point, I will say that there is a distinct lack of X-Men here, which I think will affect this set. So it's clear to me that the next Marvel set will be X-Men. This is not like known information, but there's no X-Men here anywhere, right? The only reference is on Chaos
Orb. Like Quicksilver.
Right? Or Quicksilver, but like clearly he's not part of the X-Men here, right?
He's more Avengers.
Like... I think that's a big thing, right? You're gonna be lacking both Spider-Man and X-Men here, and I don't know,
isn't
right?
That a
like
good
those
thing?
Are the most popular things, right? Well, yeah, because that's what brings all the money. So I'm not really sure, right? So we need to wait.
Wanna...
And also, it's not on Arena again, right? All Marvel
okay,
IPs.
That is miserable.
Not on
again.
Arena, right?
Yep.
So this will not be on Arena. This will be Omen Paths. Luckily, they won't
god,
all have to be weird spiders
so
this time.
Stupid.
Right?
Oh my god.
It'll be entertaining to see how they make the magic versions. I kind of look forward to it. It is horrible though.
It's
I mean
so
you gotta be right the X-Men.
It's horrible, man. Like, oh my god, why is this not coming to Arena? But I am okay with that, right, Richard? Because you don't want to just have the mainstream stuff. Like, yeah, okay, Spider-Man, X-Men.
You
got to
start
with
the mainstream stuff, though. Right? Like,
I
just
get
want
to
Cyclops.
That later.
Where's my Cyclops card? You know? Where's my Beast card? Beast is
but
already
X-Men?
Not mainstream enough, right? It just ends at, like, Wolverine and Cyclops, right? But there's so, like, you can make a whole set of X-Men, which they probably figured out, and they will do. But that means this set will not have any. Like, the set doesn't have the heavy hitters. Right? So great if you like Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur. But
whoa,
if you're just a casual.
Whoa. What about the.
If
like,
you're a casual.
Hulk?
Okay,
I mean,
you got Hulk.
Hulk
you got
is
some
popular. Hulk. I heard a Hulk. I heard
Doctor
a Captain
Doom
America.
Doctor Doom is popular. Okay, and we
but,
saw
but
the
they're not Wolverine record. Levels, right? They're not.
Maybe they're not
like...
Wolverine. But like Captain America, you see, and then you saw in the promo art, there's like, I don't know, some Legion of Armors from Iron Man. So these are. If you think of it this way, this is like the Avengers world. I'd say these are all the teams.
Yes.
That you could see throughout Marvel. Like when I say that, I mean non-mutant teams. Because I think there's X-Men, there are more X-Men than there probably are Pokemon. So you've got to actually go out there and make, I do not think you can just put 2 X-Men in this set and call it a day. So I hope they don't do that. I hope X-Men gets their own set. But like right here, I think it's got to be mostly focused on like the teams. So Avengers, West Coast Avengers, Thunderbolts, all of that. That's all coming here. And maybe we get Masters of Evil because we already see Zemo here. So there's lots to do already with this set.
Anyway, I think that brings us to the end of our podcast for today. We went kind of long, so no fish mail this week. But Richard, we'll get to him next week. How do people send in fish mail for the future?
All right. Hit us up. Is Quicksilver playable? At MTG Goldfish with the hashtag MTG Fishmail. And we'll get to your questions on air.
And that brings us to the end of episode 566 of the MTG Goldfish podcast. So Richard Grimm, thanks for hanging out. Thanks to everyone for listening. Thanks to our sponsors for supporting the show. And we'll be back next week to talk about whatever goes on in the world of magic. So until then, have a spectacular week, everyone. And this is the Kirby signing out.